Good morning. I'm one of the team. I'm James Allen, one of the leading and preaching team in All Saints. And I'm delighted that for the next four Sundays, we're going to be studying Colossians, which is a terrific epistle. We've already seen a short introduction from the puppets, and I'll introduce it more next Sunday. But this Sunday, we're going to look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. And I think and hope and pray you'll find that stimulating. So let's just pray as we start. Lord Jesus, we pray that the words which I speak will be the words which convey the truth of the gospel message. Words which you will use to inspire in all of us a closer walk with you, and in particular, life of a richer thankfulness and deeper prayer. We ask it for your glory. Amen. I know it's only August, but I wonder if any of you have ever read John Keats's poem, Ode to Autumn. I first came across it at school. I'm just going to read the first verse. Season of mists and mellow fruitfulness, close bosom friend of the maturing sun, conspiring with him how to load and bless with fruit the vines that round the thatch eaves run, to bend with apples the moss cottage trees, and fill all fruit with ripeness to the core, to swell the gourd and plump the hazel shells with a sweet kernel, to set budding more and still more later flowers for the bees, until they think warm days will never cease, for summer has o'erbrimmed their clammy cells. What a great use of words. What a great gift Keats had. That poem is all about fruitfulness. And that's what many of us who have allotments, or any of us who have allotments or a vegetable patch in the garden, hope for. Our small allotment has been very temperamental this year. Perhaps it's the quality of us as gardeners, I don't know. Some rhubarb is quite full, but other pieces are very thin. Some of the soft fruits, like the red currants, are full, others are tiny. But our aim is to grow an abundance of good-sized fruit and vegetables and to enjoy a really productive harvest. And how grateful we are to God for what our little allotment produces when it does. If you don't have an allotment, however, you may well say grace at mealtimes and thank God for the food which someone else has grown so that you can eat. Paul was a gardener too, but not in the physical world, rather in the spiritual world. And he is thrilled with the spiritual harvest that he's heard about among the Christians in Colossae. Here are verses 3 to 6. Let me read them again. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. Fruit. That is what all Paul's thankfulness focuses on. And what are the different fruits he has heard about among the Colossians? Well, they are faith, love, and hope. Faith is all about their day-to-day trust in a God who loves them and sent Jesus to die for them. And love? Well, we know what love is. But this is clearly a very special sort of love, because in verse 8, Paul calls it love in the Spirit, a supernatural sort of love, a love that goes beyond all normal boundaries. And the faith and love of the Colossians spring from hope. That hope lies in the fact that God will continue and complete his redemptive work, ending one day in a new creation. Very exciting. And it is because of that hope that the Colossian Christians have a deep, long-term trust in God, enabling them to hold on to their faith and their love, whatever comes their way, be it suffering, persecution, or even death. No wonder Paul wants to offer God fruit-filled thanks. I wonder how good you and I are at thanking God for the fruits we see growing in each other. We always thank God, says Paul in verse 3. Do we always thank God for the fruits growing in each other? How easy it is to turn our time with God into a list of requests. Kids, do you thank God in your prayers for the love and faith you see in your parents and in your church leaders? Parents, do you thank God in your prayers for the signs of new life that you see in your children? Do we, as members of All Saints, whatever our age and circumstances, spend prayer time thanking God for the fruits we see in one another? And don't miss the fact that Paul not only thanks God in his prayers for the fruit-filled Colossians, he also tells the Colossians about those fruits in this letter. I wonder when you or I last told one of our fellow Christians about the fruit we've enjoyed seeing in their lives. It's often difficult for you or me to tell if we're growing as Christians, and other people can often see that much more easily. How much more encouraging could we be by pointing out the fruit in each other's lives? Fruit-filled thanks. But Paul's gratitude to God for the fruits he sees in the Colossian church doesn't end there. It leads him into praying for the Colossians. Here we come to the second part of our title, Fruit-filled Thanks and Thought-filled Prayers. So, thought-filled prayers. Let me read to you verse 9 again. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we haven't stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Paul asks God to fill the Colossians with what? The knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. But what does that mean? It means, in essence, that he wants them to come to know God really well, to relate to him really closely, to have real insight into what God wants them to be like and how he wants them to live out their Christian lives. And the purpose of praying for this for them is that they will produce yet more fruit. How productive is that? He thanks God for their fruit, and then he prays that they'll produce more fruit. What sort of fruit? Well, in verses 10 and 11, Paul writes, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. How different might my prayers be if I felt this for our church members as strongly as Paul felt it for the Colossians? Let's see what it sounds like. May every member of All Saints lead a life worthy of the Lord. May they all please him in every way. May each of the members of All Saints bear fruit in every good work. May all of them grow in knowledge of God. May they all be strengthened so that they may have great endurance and patience. And may every member of All Saints joyfully give thanks to the Father who's qualified them to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. How different the sort of prayers when I, in my haste, ask God to bless someone without really thinking what that means or what I really should be praying for them. Paul thinks about what are the most important fruits which need to be growing in the lives of the Colossians, and he homes in on them. Recently, in our home group, we went through the first half of Paul's epistle to the Philippians, extracting the bits which referred to Christian maturity in order to see what Paul's image of Christian maturity looked like. It was a fascinating exercise. But then we used some of the qualities he referred to and the actual words he'd written to pray for each other. And I personally felt a completely different quality in our prayers. They had spiritual power as they used the words of Scripture. So, may this passage in the first chapter of Colossians encourage us all to give fruit-filled thanks to our Father for the gift he has given to each of us. And may I commend to you verses 10 to 12 as a basis for thought-filled prayer, so that we, as members of all saints, may become, adapting the words of John Keats, people of mellow Christian fruitfulness. Amen.